Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin. We begin three lines from the top, continuing our discussion of the story of the Megillah with the words Lo Naso Imo Dovor. We're learning today Le'ili Nishma Zabela Bas Uri. All the insurance we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Now, we're in the middle of the story of the Megillah, where we're up to the point Balayla Zed Nodidoshna Samelech. Achashverosh couldn't sleep, and we said Kaviyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't sleep. He was concerned that possibly nobody's helping him out. He was concerned of a plot between Esther and Haman. He was concerned that nobody is helping him out because he must have not repaid somebody for helping him out in the past. So therefore, people don't want to step forward. So they bring him the Sefer HaZichronos, Sefer HaYomim, and we said they were read by themselves because Shimshi, who was the son of Haman, was the person who was supposed to be reading it, and he didn't want to read it, and the words themselves were read. Vayu Nikraim, Malamich Nikraim Me'alein, the words were read by themselves, and then he started to erase them, and the Malach Gavriel wrote them down as he was erasing them. That's why it uses the Lashon Kosov rather than Kosav in the past tense. Rashi reminds us that Shimshi was the sofer of the Melech, and he was a Sonei Yisrael Hayu. He was a horrible anti-Semite. The apple didn't fall far from the tree, like father, like son. Anyway, that's where we're up to right now, and we begin third line from the top, Tezayin Omid Aleph. Then it says that Lo Na'asa Imo Dovor. Nothing was done. That Mordechai had told on Bigson and Seresh, and yet he wasn't rewarded. And the people who said this said, Lo Na'asa Imo Dovor. Nothing was done for Mordechai, for him. Amar Rava, Rava says, Lo B'nei She'ovim is Mordechai, not because they loved Mordechai, because they would have said, oh, he is deserving of such great things, but nothing was done for him. No, they just said, Lo Na'asa Imo Dovor. No, nothing was done. In other words, if you give him a little bit of something, then that would be fine. So, Lo B'nei She'ovim is Mordechai, not because they wanted Mordechai to be on it, but Esther's plot to go get the other people jealous of Haman by inviting Haman to the party worked. El B'nei She'sonim is Haman. They hated Haman, and therefore they wanted to see Mordechai get some sort of an honor. They didn't want to give him a lie, but this way, it would bother Haman. So they wanted to just bother Haman. They hated Haman. Haman, as we had learned, was a terrible Rasha. He was immoral, and he had slept with many married women, and therefore, I thought possibly that they also hated him because of this possibility that he had slept with their wives. In any event, Heichen lo, so the Haman is now coming in to the king. We know that this is the same night that the king couldn't sleep. Haman was about to come in to say he wanted to have Mordechai hung. He had discussed it with Zeresh, Chol Avav, and they said, go tell the king that you want to get rid of Mordechai. So he was coming in to the king at the same time the king was hearing that he never rewarded Mordechai. So Haman doesn't know that. And he comes in to the king to tell him that he would like to have Mordechai hung. And he says he wants to hang him on the gallows that he specifically prepared for Mordechai for this. Asher hechin lo. And in the Braisa, the words are prophetic, that hechin lo is lo hechin, that he had prepared for Mordechai, but he actually was preparing them for his own demise. And we know Haman and his 10 sons would be hung on these gallows. Now, king asks Haman, whoa, if I wanted to go and honor somebody, what should I do? So Haman, of course, thinks that it's himself, and he tells Achashverosh, oh, go take the lavush and the sus, and originally says the crown as well, but afterwards he sees that Achashverosh didn't like the idea of the crown, so he just says, kach es lavush es asus, and put him on Mordechai, and that's what the king says, kach es lavush es asus, and asechein leMordechai, hayudi, hayoshe b'shar ha-melech, go and do this to Mordechai, the Yehudi, who sits in the melech, and he says, al tapel davar mikol asher dibarta, and don't leave out anything that you said. Now, what exactly is the story behind it? Fascinating story. So we just dashed in the first words. It says, Vasechein leMordechai. The king tells Haman, do this, everything you just said, the lavush and the sus, and have him ride around with somebody leading him, saying, Kochi yisrael ish asher ha-melech chafetz b'yikaro. So he says, do this to Mordechai. So Haman innocently says, Amalei, Manu Mordechai, which Mordechai? Who's this Mordechai? So Amalei, a Yehudi, Mordechai the Jew. And Amalei, so Haman says back to Achashverosh, there are many Jews by the name of Mordechai. Which one? Tuva Mordechai, Ikab Yudaya. Mordechai is a very common name amongst the Jewish people. How do I know which Mordechai you're referring to? So he told him, the king says, Amalei, Hayoshe b'shar ha-melech, the one that's always sitting in the shar ha-melech. And Haman then says, listen, he doesn't need such a big honor like I just said. Amalei, Haman tells Achashverosh, who, the Bach adds the word who, Sagile b'chad diskarta, inami b'chad narba. You don't have to give him such honor. He would be satisfied with having a single diskarta, Rashi says, is a kfar. Give him a small village or a nahara, Rashi says, like a river with his taxes on it, litomeches. So he can get the easy pass for this city. He gets the this river, for this bridge, or for this city, he gets to collect the taxes. You don't have to give him such honor that he should be going around with somebody leading him, saying, "Kol chis eloisha melech haveitz bikarov." That's too much honor. So the king says back to Haman, "Amale, honami havle. Good idea. Give him the diskarta or the chadnara in addition to what I had said, based upon what you had originally said." And that's why it ends off, "Al tapel davar mikol asher divarta." Do not leave anything out from what you said, but from what you added, what you said originally, as well as what you added now. So Haman is obligated to go do what the king says. So he goes to Mordechai to go and carry out the king's order. He doesn't carry out. He's going to get killed. So he goes and carries out what the king asked him to do. And he goes to Mordechai and he finds him, that he's sitting with the Tamidim around, the Yasvi Rabbanim Kameh, that all the Tamidim, Rashi says the Rabbanim here are the Tamidim of Mordechai, that they're all sitting around learning by the Rebbe. And what are they learning? So as Rashi points out, this is Tes Vav of Nisan. They started to fast on Yudali. That's what we had the other day by Avoris Mordechai. He took them out from observing Pesach that year. They didn't have a Seder. They fasted. So it was Yudali, Tes Vav, and now it's Tes Zayin. Tes Zayin is the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, which would be the day that they normally bring the Korban Omer. So Mordechai is learning in Yonah Diyoma. He's teaching them about the Korban Omer. He's teaching them in general details about the Korban Mincha. So he's showing them Hilchus Kemitza, how to do Kemitza. Remember from the Gemara in Yuma, the Mar Menachos talks about how difficult the process of Kemitza is, that you have to go and take the flour offering, and it could be not only just flour, it could be actually hard-baked bread, and you have to, with just three fingers, go and scoop it up, and with your thumb and with your pinky, you wipe off the excess from the top and from the bottom. And the mitzvah of Kemitza then is you bring the Kemitza up in a kli shoritz onto the Mizbeach and sacrifice it in the Shiraim, real to be eaten by the Kohen, if it's a mincha that's brought by a member of Klal Yisrael. So they're a dinim for the Korban HaOmer, and their general dinim of mincha that he taught to them. Now, given the Chazi Mordechai, the Apek Lekable, he sees Haman coming towards him to go and greet him with the Suse Mecha Biyode. He's holding on to the reins of the horse, and he's coming towards Mordechai. So Mordechai gets terrified. Here he's coming to kill him. So Amalul Rabbanan, he tells all the Tamidim, the Chachamim that were sitting around him, "Stay away from me, because you're going to be innocent bystanders caught in my killing." So Hai Rishia, this Rasha Haman, the Miktal Nafshi Kaasi, is coming obviously to kill me, and therefore Zilu Mikamei, get away from me, don't sit around me. Zilu mikame, leave me, don't stay here. Dilo tikovu bikachaltosa, you shouldn't get burned with his coal, his hot coal. In other words, let's say he's going to kill me right now, so he may kill anybody that's right around me. So quickly, move away from me. Nu, b'hayishai, so what does he do? Person, he is in trouble. What does Mordechai do at that moment? Nisatev Mordechai, he puts on his talis, the komle letzlus, and he goes to David to an esri. He goes to David to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, also Haman comes, the Yosef Lei Kamayu. He goes in front of Mordechai, he sees he's davening, so he sits down and he waits for Mordechai to finish his longish one esrei. But Orich and Mordechai is davening, so Haman's waiting there, but Orich, he waits there. Ad the solik Mordechai letzlus, until Mordechai finishes his davening, until he finishes letzlus, he normally means one esrei, he was davening one esrei, until he finishes davening. No, while he's sitting there, he makes small talk with the other Talmidei Chachamim that are around Mordechai. Amalu, he says to the Talmidim, "V'mai askisu, what were you guys learning? What were you doing over here?" So Armulei, so the Talmidim tell back to Haman, "Bizman shebeisem edish kayam, mondim in ade mincha, mai se malei kumse," during the times when the Beis HaMikdash existed. Again, remember, the story of Purim occurs in between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, towards the end of that 70-year period of Golos, as we've already learned. So they told Haman HaRasha that during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, if a person wanted to go and get an atonement, a person could go bring a korban mincha. Even a poor person could get atonement by bringing a flower offering. Man demindav mincha. If somebody wanted to donate a mincha, ma'isim lekum, say, we bring this handful, the Kohen would go do the kmitza. The kmitza would be sacrificed on the mizbeach in the kli shoritz, and the shrine would be able to be eaten by the pirchei kohuna. So what would happen? The sulta, he would bring this komets of soles, umiskarpele, and he would get a kapara. So just by bringing a small amount of flour, right, a very small amount, and putting it on the mizbeach, person get a kapara. So Amalhu, so Haman tells back to the Chachamim, I also Malay Kumse Kimcha Didcho the Doche Asara Alfe Kikre Kaspa Didi. Your little flower offering that you're bringing has been able to push aside even the 10,000 silver coins, the Kikarim, the silver talents that I have collected to give to Achashverosh to wipe you guys out. So your little flower offering was able to negate my unbelievably large sum of money that I gave to Achashverosh. And Tosu says over here, that this is also a idea that he's telling them the Machzis HaShekel that you guys brought also negates all of the money that I give. And Tosfos has an interesting calculation. He says all of the Jewish people that left Mitzrayim for the years that they were in the Midbar and they gave the Machzis HaShekel funds, so it adds up to the 10,000 Kikari Kaspa that Haman collected. So the Machzis HaShekel funds, so to say, negated also this attempt by Haman to go and wipe out the Jewish people. So Mordechai finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, and he says, Omalei, Mordechai says to Haman, Rasha, you horrible person, you wicked guy. Eved, Shekona Nechosim, a servant that has acquired anything. Eved, Lemi, Unechosim, Lemi. Who does the Eved belong to? And therefore, who does the Nechosim belong to? And this is the famous Yalkut Esther that I had mentioned the other day, that they were both generals, and Haman had run out of money, so he needed to borrow money from Mordechai, who was very careful with the money, and didn't run out of money, so Haman's troops were starving, so he borrowed money from Mordechai. Mordechai said, I'll give you the money, but you have to sell yourself to me as a slave. So you are my slave. So anything that you have, the 10,000 kikarim, were really my kikarim that you gave to Achashverosh, and you are a Rasha. Okay. Amalei. So Haman says, no, I got to carry out the words of the king. He says to Mordechai, kum, please stand up. Levosh hani money. Go put on the king's garments, the money of the king's garments, the levush that he had said to go and put on Mordechai. Urechov haisush, and take the king's horse and ride on it. And please do this. So the boy lamalka, because that's what the king wants you to do. Amalei. So Mordechai says to Haman, lo yochilna. I can't do this right now. Sorry. Adailina. Lebe bani, until I go to the bathhouse. The eshko lamazi, and I will take a haircut because it's not proper that I should go put on the king's clothing and be a representative of the king without taking a haircut. When Yosef was brought out of the base HaSohar, so he took a haircut, even though it was on Rosh Hashanah, because when you're going to greet the king, sometimes there are dinim that you're allowed to go and do. Somebody else could give him a haircut. There would only be a derabbanan. So for Kovod HaMalchus, he was able to do this. So too, Mordechai said, even though it was Tez Zayin Nisan, which was Chol HaMoed, and technically you shouldn't go and take a haircut, he had a hetter to go do so. Others suggest that also he didn't have a chance to take a haircut before Yontif. If somebody is on the road and wasn't able to take a haircut before Yontif, so technically they could take a haircut on Yontif as well. The whole idea of not taking a haircut on Yontif is that you shouldn't go into Yontif all disheveled and say, well, I have plenty of time on Chol HaMoed, I'll take a haircut then. But if you didn't have plenty of time before Yontif, so then there are heterim that a person, Rechmon Son, he was in Avelus, he couldn't take a haircut, he was traveling, he was in jail, etc., and he wasn't able to take a haircut before Chol HaMoed, you could take it on Chol HaMoed. So Mordechai took a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Now, he says, why do I need to do this? To love Arach Haaretz. It's not proper. It's not appropriate that a person should go, Lish Tamushe, but money the Malka. I should wear the king's clothing and sit on the king's horse, Hachi, in such a disheveled state. Okay. Meanwhile, Esther goes and closes down all the bathhouses, so there are no bathhouse attendants. They're all told that they can't work that day, and all the barbers are also told that you're off today, you can't work. So Shadra Esther sent out a message, Vasartinu Lakulu, and she said, it's also for anybody to go work today. So the bathhouse attendants had to go home, and the barbers all had to go home. So she asked Debani Ulukulu Umne, so she sent everybody home. So all the bathhouse attendants and all the barbers, they weren't able to go and work. So therefore, Ailehu Ihu Leve Bani Viasre. So Haman himself had to go and bathe Mordechai in the bathhouse, do all the preparations for him, and had to go and cut his hand. Also, I say Zuzumi Bay. So he took his scissors that he had in his house, because Shaku Bay Masi, and he gave Mordechai a haircut. At the same time that he was doing this, in God the Isnach, he felt very, very bad. In God the Isnach, and he sighed. He gave out a krachts. So Amalei, so Mordechai says, no, why are you krachtsing? Amai kom misnachas. Why are you so upset? Why are you krachtsing over here? So Amalei, so Haman says to Mordechai, Gavra, a great person like me, to have a choshu leila malka, mikulu rav vonohi. That person who's as great as me, who is greater than all the other rav rivonohi, I'm greater than all the other kings, and you're making me do this horrible stuff. I'm now a bathhouse attendant, and I'm now a barber. So Hashto lishavye balone v'sapar. Now I'm going to be the guy giving you a bath and the guy that's cutting your hair. So Amalei, so Mordechai says to Haman, you Russia, you horrible person, you bad guy. V'lav sapar, weren't you a barber in the city of Shokvar Kartsum Ayisa? In the city of Kartsum, you were a barber. So you, nothing has changed. You were a barber originally and you're a barber now. Tana, we learn the Braisa. Haman, in fact, sapar Shokvar Kartsum Ayo Esrim Ushtayim Shana. He was actually the barber in Kartsum before he began his military career as a general and before he became a statesman. So Haman come from such a haughty-taughty lineage. No, he was a regular working person. And now, so why are you so upset? You're going back to being a regular barber. Okay. Bosor de shachlinu lemazye, after Haman finished cutting Mordechai's hair, lov shinu lemoni, and he put on the clothing on Mordechai, on the leg. So Haman says to Mordechai, sak urchab, go up, get up onto the horse, and let's ride. So Amalei, Mordechai says, I'm sorry, I'm very, very tired. I can't do it. I can't get up on the back of the horse myself. I've been fasting for 3 days. Because I'm so weak, because I haven't eaten in 3 days. He was dehydrated, he was hungry. So he says, I need help to get up onto the back of the horse. Gochin, so Haman bends down the Solik, and Mordechai gets up onto the top of the horse by stepping on Haman's back. And as he's going up, Kisolik, as he steps on Haman's back, he gives him a zetz, bought bay, gives him a kick on the back. So Haman is surprised at this. Amalei, loksil l'chu, doesn't it say in your holy books, it says in Mishlei, doesn't it say over there, bin fol oivecha al tismach, at the fall of your enemy, don't rejoice, don't be happy. So you give me a zetz. It's bad enough that I'm doing all of this, but why should you, so to say, be happy and give me a zetz at the same time? Your own Mishlei says you shouldn't do that. So Amalei, so Mordechai says back to Haman, Hanimili, Mishlei is talking about Benfol Evech Al Tismach is B'Yisrael. If another Yid is down, so don't rejoice that the other Yid is down. Even if he deserves it, don't rejoice. Abu B'Didchu, but by you, by a Rasha like you, Ksiv, the Pasuk tells us, this Pasuk from the Varim, it says, V'atah Al Bamosemo Sidroch, that we will be Zoche to go and destroy all the Bamos, all the Avodah Zarah altars that you have, we will be Zoche to destroy them. So when I'm stepping on you, I'm destroying your altar. You called yourself a god, right? You want everybody to bow down to you. So I'm fulfilling the pasuk that says we will destroy the altars of our enemies. Okay. Then it says, Vayikrolofonov, so Haman goes and leads Mordechai as the king instructed him to do, as Haman originally thought they would be doing to him. And he says, "Vayikrolofonov kocha, yaselvish." This is the way it should be done. Asher lamelech chafetz v'yikaro, to the person that the king wishes to honor. Now, as Haman is leading Mordechai through the streets of Shushan, yelling this out, ki avinokit va'ozil b'shvila de Haman, he passes by his own house as he's going through the roads that are right by his house. Chazite berate. Haman's own daughter sees him, the Kaima Aigra, and she's standing up on the roof of the house. They used to use the roof of the house very frequently as like a porch area, as a patio area. So she's standing up on the roof of her house, watching the procession. She naturally assumes, Sotvara, she says, Hi, Derochiv Avua. Who's being honored? Must be my father. Who else would be honored? Just like Haman was such an arrogant person. He says, who else would the king want to honor but myself? So his own daughter had, again, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She was also very arrogant, and she said, who else would be honoring this other than my father? And behind the maske, I'm sure my father had concocted a plot to embarrass Mordechai. So behind the maske kameh, the one that's leading him and yelling out, Kochi is Eloish, is obviously Mordechai. So she says, oh, I'm going to add insult to injury over here. Shokla atzitza debesaki. See, an otzitz is like a pot. So we have an otzitz nakov, otzitz shein nakov, where you plant items into a basket, into a pot, the hole in the bottom, not a hole in the bottom, a whole din of otzitz nakov, otzitz shein nakov. So otzitz is a basket. So she takes this pot, shokla atzitza debesaki. She takes the chamber pot. Didn't have indoor plumbing, so they would go and defecate into a pot, into a bowl of some sort, and then they would dump it outside afterwards. So she takes the chamber pot filled with excrement, and ushadise, and she throws it, areshe davua, the one who she thought was Mordechai, was really her father, and she dumps the chamber pot from her roof on top of her own father. Haman is now bathed in this excrement, and he lifts up his eyes, dolly ene, and now he and his daughter connect. They see each other. His daughter sees that she just dumped a pot of excrement on top of her own father. V'chazias, and she sees davuahu, and she is so upset, nofla mi'igra, she jumps off the roof, or she, in her distraught state, falls off the roof, and nofla mi'igra la'ara umesa, and she falls off or jumps off the roof, and she dies. And that's what the Megillah says, v'ayinu d'chsev, v'yosha mordechai yashar melech, v'yaman nidchaf ubeiso, avel v'chay fui rosh. So we first darsh in the first part of the pasuk that Mordechai returns, Vayosha Mordechai El Shara Melech. So he goes back to where he was beforehand, which was sitting in sackcloth and mourning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidabding that Hashem should annul the evil decree of Haman and Achashverosh. And that's what the Gemara says, Omer Rav Sheshes, Sheshav Lesako Ulesaniso. He returned back to putting on his sackcloth. He took off the king's fancy garments. He puts back on his sackcloth and he goes back to fasting. The third day wasn't over yet, so they're continuing to fast until the end of the 3 days. And Haman, what happens to him? Haman in Chafel Beso, he goes back to his house. He quickly runs back to his house. He has a meeting with the king. And he has to get out of the stinking clothing that he's in. And he's in Avel now because his daughter just committed suicide or fell off the roof. And Chafui Rosh, and he's filthy with the pot of excrement that had been dumped on his head. Avel Abito, the Chafui Rosh, Al She'er Lo. He's an Avel because of his daughter, and he's a Chafui Rosh. He's filled with excrement on his head because of the pot that was dumped on him. No, he goes back to his house and he tells everybody, "Oi, look what happened." He goes back and tells his wife and all Oavav. I always found it interesting that he calls his wife and then he also speaks to all the people that he loves, implying that he doesn't love his wife. Okay, in any event, he says to her and to all of his household, the pasuk continues, we don't have it in the Gemara. The pasuk continues because we need the next part of the pasuk. So he tells him what happened. So all the chachamim, and that's the point, no longer are they referred to as ohavav, but now they're referred to as chachamav. So originally they were called ohavav, and now they're called chachamav. And they tell him, as we'll see in the Gemara, the next steps. So the Gemara questions, it says, the critical point over here, as always, is often the vegomer. So, karilu ohavav, karilu chachamav. In the first part of the pasuk, calls the is loved ones, there's loved ones, but then it calls them the same people. The loved ones are called Chachamav. So how come? So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us a very important idea. If somebody says something smart, even if he is a Gentile, so we call him smart. We don't say only Jews can be smart and the Goyim can't be smart. No, whoever's smart is smart. And we have Gemara's elsewhere that tells us, if somebody says that there's no Chochmah by Goyim, that's not true. There, of course, could be Chochmah by Goyim. It all depends what you do with the Chochmah that you're given. So here, the Ohavav were also called Chachamav. And what do they respond back to Haman? You're in a lot of trouble. They say, Im Mizera Yudim Mordechai Vegomer. If, in fact, Mordechai is from Zera Yudim, so the Gemara is going to darsh in a moment. The end of the pasuk says, Ki Nofol Tipololov. You're going to definitely lose. So, what does it mean if Mordechai is Mizera Yudim? They knew Mordechai was a Jew, so what do you mean in Mizera Yudim? So, Amrulei, what they were really telling Haman was, Mishar Shvotim Kosi Yochlusle. V'imishavit Yehudu v'nyonu v'efraim v'menashe lo yochlusle. Depends which Zera Hayudim Mordechai comes from. Which Shevet does he come from? If he comes from Yehuda, which is the Malchus and the Gevura of Klal Yisrael, or if he comes from Rachel, comes from Binyamin, or from Yosef in Ephraim and Menasha, lo yochlusle, you're going to lose, you're not going to win out. And they based it upon the following idea, where Yehuda, the pasuk tells us to see, Yod Chobi Orif Oivecha. We just had this in the Birchus Yaakov, that Yehuda would always be able to be stronger, he would be at the Oref, at the back of the neck of his enemies. In other words, he would be able to overpower his enemies. So if he's from Zera Yehudim, meaning from Zera of Shevet Yehuda, you're in trouble. And we had already learned previously that Mordechai came both from Shevet Binyamin and from Shevet Yehuda. So he had both benefits over here. Enoch, and where do we know that if you came from Binyamin or Ephraim or Menashe, from Yosef's children, that it says as well, this is from Tehillim, where it says, Lefnei Ephraim uVinyamin uMenashe, so they will, so to say, stimulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and fight for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the Ohav of the Chacham of Zeres Ishto told Haman, you're in a lot of trouble if he comes from Yehuda and Binyamin, which of course he did, then you're going to lose. And they concluded and they said, Ki Nafol Tipol Lefanav, you're going to unfortunately fall before him. And what does this mean? Nafol Tipol is double Lashon, so Darish of Yehuda Bar Eloi. Yehuda Bar Eloi says, Shtei nefilos halalu lama is two nafol tipol. It's a double lashon. So they said Amru lo. They explained to him, to Haman, Umazo, Klal Yisrael is Meshula L'Offer. Sometimes we compare to the offer, as Avram was told that your children will be as numerous as the offer. And Meshula Kochavim, Avram was also told that your children will be compared to the stars in the sky, as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the dust of the earth, the sands of the sea. So Kishen Yordin, when Nebuch Klal Yisrael descends, we go all the way down. Yordin at offer. We go down to the 49th level of Tumah, like we're in Mitzrayim. However, Kishen Olam, when we go up, Olam ala Kochom, we go all the way to Shemayim. And therefore, this Lashon Kinafolti Po, you certainly are going to, unfortunately, lose in this case. That's what his Oabo told Haman. Now, the Sarisi HaMelech, he knew. Now, Haman had come home, he wanted to take a shower, he wanted to switch into good clothing, but immediately, the Sarisi HaMelech, the king's officers, came, and they brought him quickly. No, you're late for the party. That he was brought there in a state of tumult, in a state of confusion, in a state of disarray. Now, the pasuk continues, and we darshan it. Kinim karnu aniv yamiv gomer. Esther tells Achashverosh in front of Haman at the second night of the party. He says, "What would you like?" Again, achatzia malchus. I'll give you anything that you want. Which he said, "I'll give you anything except the Beis Hamikdash." So she tells him, "I wouldn't say anything except we, my people." She now tells him who she is. "I'm the daughter of Shaul, a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, and me and my people, we have been sold by a horrible person. And this person is doing this for no benefit. He's actually hurting the king. It's not helping the king. He doesn't care that the king's going to end up losing very important people in his congregation, in his country. So he doesn't care. This wicked person, he doesn't care that it's going to hurt the king." So, Amrlo, Achashverosh is being told by Esther, "Tsar Zed, this wicked person, Haman Arasha, ain't no shove benezek shomel. He doesn't care that your kingdom is going to be hurt by the destruction of the Jewish people. And you personally will be hurt. Because last time this Russia did something to you, Ikani ba, Vashti v'kotla. He was jealous that you had the most beautiful woman. Remember, you bragged to everybody how you had the best, beautiful, most vessel in the whole world. So, he was jealous, so he killed your Vashti. So he's doing the same thing with me. Hashto ikani b'didi. He's jealous that I'm now your wife. Umiboy l'mitkali, and he wants to kill me and all my people." So Achashverosh is very, very upset. He says, "V'yom haMelech Achashverosh, v'yom haStemakor." Now this double lashon, the king says, it says haMelech Achashverosh v'yomer, and then it says v'yomer liester malko. So why this double lashon of v'yomer? That's what the Gemara says. V'yomer, v'yomer l'amali. Why twice? So Amar Rabbi Avo b'tchila ayde turgeman. But Kivin de Armalay, me de Bay Shal Kasina, miyad, by Omerly Esther Maka. So originally the king was such an arrogant person, he wouldn't deign to speak with the commoner, and as beautiful and as much as he loved Esther, he wouldn't talk with her. So he would speak with a meturgeman, he would speak, somebody else would be the intermediary. You don't talk right to the king. So he would speak to the interpreter, and the interpreter would go and speak to Esther. That's what it says, Vayomer HaMelech HaChirosh, he first told the interpreter. But now that Esther had said that Nimkarnu Aniva me, I am the daughter, a legacy of Shaul HaMelech. I'm royalty also. Oh, now, Vayomer HaMelech. Now the king can speak directly to her. Vayomer Esther Malka. Oh, you're now Esther HaMalka. I realize now that you are of royal lineage. Now I can speak with you directly. Vatomer Esther, and Esther continues, and she says to the HaMelech HaShirosh, Ish Tzar V'Oyev. Now, as we'll see, that's separate. Haman HaRoazeh is the second part of her statement. So there's this Ish Tzar V'Oyev, which she's implying is Achashverosh. And then there's this Haman HaRoazeh. So Amar Rabbi Elazar says, B'lami Shoyso Machbo Klapi Achashverosh. When she started to say Ish Tzar V'Oyev, she was talking and pointing towards Achashverosh. And a Malach comes above Malach and pushes her hand away and points it towards Haman. V'sasa Yodah, he pushes her hand, Klapi Haman, to point towards Haman. But she was telling him that you are the evil person just like Haman is. Okay, the king gets obviously unbelievably angry at this. You're trying to kill my wife, Haman, right here in my palace. Ba'melech, kom b'chamaso, v'gomer. He goes outside, and Haman is staying inside and begging for his life. So, ha'melech, shov miginas abison. So, the king went outside to his gardens, and now he comes back to his gardens. So, the analogy over here, kom and shav, we have the similar idea. Make a shiva lakima, we have this juxtaposition over here, so we make a hekish that we went outside, he saw something that made him angry, and when he comes back inside, he sees something that makes him angrier as well. Makima b'chema, as he's going outside, he was very, very upset. Avshiva b'chema, when he comes back inside, he's equally upset. The Ozal Vyashkach Lamalachia Shores, the Damule Ki Gabre, the Ko Okre Li Lone, the Bustone. He goes outside. He's unbelievably upset. And he sees his beautiful garden. He sees men, what he thinks are men, they're really malachim, that are dressed up to appear like men. And what are they doing? They're taking down, because akri li lani dibustani, they're uprooting all the trees that he has in his garden. He spent a tremendous amount on making his garden beautiful. And what happens? These guys are taking down all his trees. He says, what are you doing? Vamalu. So he says to these malachim who are dressed up to look like people, Maya Vadaichu, what are you doing over here? You're destroying my garden. So Amulei, so these malachim say to him, well, listen, we're just following orders. The Bechadinon, Haman told us to destroy your garden. So that really further upsets Achashverosh. Now, also they see, he comes back to his house, and what does he see? The Haman, no fail alamita. He sees that Haman is falling, as in present tense, no fail alamita. Asher Esther Olah, that Esther is on. In other words, he seems to be attacking the king's wife and assaulting her. So the Gemara first questions, it says no fail, it should have said no fall, mi boyle. Past tense, he fell. Why is he still falling? He's still falling. That seems to be incorrect diktuk. So again, Omer Reloza says, Melami, this pasuk is coming to teach us by using the word no fail instead of no fall, Shabba Malach, and Malach came, Vipilola. He first fell on her back for mercy. Then he gets up, and the malach pushed him down again. He tries to get up, the malach pushes him down again. So it's no fail. He's constantly being present tense, being pushed down. And Omar, Achashverosh is really, really upset. He says, Vai mi besa, vai mi bra. The same thing that happened outside, you wicked Haman. You told him to take down my gardens. He trying to take down my wife. You're trying to do a terrible thing right here in my own house. The king says to him in tremendous anger, are you going to go and try to have relations with my wife right here in the house? You're attacking my wife right here in the house? A chutzpah. And he's unbelievably upset. At that moment, along comes Charbona. He says, oh, Haman made this tree 50 yama tall. Let's go, and he was going to hang Mordechai on it, so Mordechai was the one that saved your life. Let's go hang Haman on it. So, Af Charbona, Rosh Abiyosa Eitzhaya. Charbona was really, is part of Haman's cabal. He was a bad guy. He was one of Haman's aides, but he quickly sees that this is not the moment to be on Haman's side, so he quickly switches over. Kivan Shirosh Lonis Kaimatz, so he saw that Haman is on the way down. He's about to be thrown out as the Secretary of State, so he switches allegiance and he goes down to tell the king, I have a plan for you. And Miyad Barach, so he left Haman, and now he goes to be with Achashverosh. That's what the pasuk that we have. And Eov tells us that this will happen to Rishoyim. V'ayinu d'chsiv, v'yashlech olav, v'lo yachmol miyodo baroach yivroch. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's going to get the enemy, when he's going to get the bad people, so even their people that were assisting them are going to run away from them. So that's exactly what happened. Haman's colleague over here, Charbona, he switches sides and he tells Achashverosh, look at that wicked Haman, you know what he was doing? And that's why we say, v'gam Charbona zochur latov. He switched sides, so he's mentioned in a positive way. So they tell Achashverosh orders the guards, go and hang Haman along with his 10 sons on Asher Echin Lo, on those very gallows that he had prepared for Mordechai, go and hang him. Lo Echin, like we had before. And now the king's anger subsides. Once Haman is hung along with his 10 sons, so then the anger of the king somewhat subsides. Now it uses a lashon via Shachacha. It doesn't say Shachah. Shachacha. Why the two chavs, shtei shechichos, are implied over here? Halalu, lama. What do they represent? So the first answer that we'll give two answers. Achash shamaku shalolam yachash lachverosh. This represents that the anger of Achashverosh went down, but not only his anger. The anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Klai Yisrael also went down. They had done tshuva, they fasted for 3 days, they had done a sincere tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted this. Second answer, v'yarmi lo. Second answer, that this refers to Achas Shel Esther v'Achas Shel Vashti. He was somewhat appeased, his anger subsided over the fact that Haman had killed Vashti and Haman had tried to kill Esther. That's the double lashon shachacha. Now, the Gemara digresses for a moment to discuss something that will be related to this, we'll see in a moment, but seems to come out of the blue. But when we go through this little digression, we'll see why it's here. So now, we just had recently in the Chumash, we were laning Parashas Vayigash, so he said there, as soon as Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, so he gave them all presents, but to Binyamin he gave extra. L'chulam, to all the other brothers, Nasan Li'ish Chalifos Smolos, he gave them clothing. However, L'Binyamin, to his brother Binyamin, Nasan, he gave him a whole bunch of things, including, we skipped some words, Chamesh Chalifos, he gave him 5 special types of clothing. So, Gemara asks the obvious question that everybody asks. Efshar, Davar, Shinitzdar, Bo'osot, Tzadik, the very thing that caused Yosef all the troubles, that Yaakov gave Yosef more than the brothers, and that caused jealousy amongst them. We turn to Tzayin Omid Beis. So is he going to do the same thing? Yikoshel Bo, he's going to make the other brothers angry or jealous at Binyamin. Hey, how come Binyamin got more than we did? The Amar Rav Bar Mechasya, Rav Bar Mechasya said, in the name of Amar Rav Chama Bar Guya, Amar Rav, it said over the name of Rav Chama Bar Guya, in the name of Rav, Bishvil Mishkal Shnei Sloyim Elas, Shehosif Yaakov LiYosef Mishar Echov, because of the original Ksonis Pasim, the little bit of extra of Shnei Sloyim's worth of Melas, of fine wool, that Yosef got more than the brothers. There are some that say that he just had a little bit of extra material around the sleeve that was colored. Otherwise, all the brothers got jackets, and Yosef's jacket was a little bit special, just a little bit more fine wool. Shehosef Yaakov LeYosef, Bishar Echav, that Yaakov was giving over to Yosef, more so the other brothers. We know the whole story. The brothers were jealous of Yosef, and as a galgal adover, it all rolled around. V'yardu avaseinu Mitzrayim, and we went down to Mitzrayim. So, could it be possible that Yosef makes the same very mistake that caused him to be sold? So, Amar Binyamin Bar Yefes, Rabbi Yom Yosef says, Remez, Ramaz Lo. This is the connection now to Megillas Esther. This is a remez that Yosef gave Binyamin these five extra garments. That's prefacing what will happen in the future. Sha'asit, Bain Lot Sesimenu. He would have a descendant, right, from Binyamin. We know came Shaul, and we said so too came Mordechai. So Sheyetze Milifnei Hamelech Bechamishal Hushim Malchus, as the pasuk says, Shenema. Mordechai Yotzah Mipnei HaMelech. He goes from in front of the king, Bilavush Machus, Techez Zuchor, Ateres Butz V'Argomon. So he goes from the king wearing all of the special fancy garments. And there are five that are listed over here, and that's connected to the five garments that Yosef gave more to Binyamin. You have the Techeles, number one, the Hur, number two, the Ateres Zov Gedola, number three, the Sachar Butz, number four, and the Argomon is number five. So these five clothing that were put on to Mordechai were alluded to by the Maisa of giving Binyamin the extra clothing that he didn't give to the other brothers. Now, once we darshan a little bit about the Yosef and the brothers, so we continue darshan that a little bit. We got the main point that we wanted to connect it to the Megillah, but now we just go further and digress a little bit. It says, Vayipol al tzavrei Binyamin achiv, and Binyamin returned and cried on the neck of Yosef. So the question the Gemara has is, Kama Tzavrin Havalele Binyamin. It says, the Lashon over here, that Yosef fell on the necks, plural, of Binyamin. So it's a strange Lashon. Albeit, Rashi actually is not goris this. He says that it's not so strange. You find that we use a plural Lashon in other situations as well. He gives a couple of examples. So Rashi is actually not goris this. He says, Lo Garcina. But we'll just dash in the Gemara that we have. So the Gemara asks, why did it say that Yosef fell on the necks of Binyamin? So this is an allusion to another idea. Amar Elazar, Bach al Shnei Mikdashim Shasidim Yosef Bechalko Shel Binyamin Vasidim L'Chorid. We know that Beis HaMikdash was officially situated in the Yerusha that was given to Binyamin. We know that the Azara was divided up between Yehuda and Binyamin. We have the Gemara in Yuma, which so exactly where around the Mizbeach the divide was. In any event, so the Beis HaMikdash is considered, so to say, to be in Binyamin's territory. And Nebuch, the first and base, second Beis HaMikdash, would be destroyed. So he was crying, that's what it means, al tzavare, about both the first and second Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And in return, Binyamin Boch al tzavarov, Binyamin cried on Yosef's neck, so that's Boch al Mishkan Shiloh, Shasil Yos B'chalko Yosef, also the Harbin. He was crying about the Mishkan Shiloh that was in Yosef's territory. Shiloh was in Yosef's allotment, and as a result, he was crying about that. Then it says further, V'nei Nechem Roz, V'nei Achi Binyamin, your eyes will see just like Binyamin's eyes see. In other words, there's no difference, Yosef is telling them, between the way I relate towards Binyamin and the way I relate to you. And then again, Rabbi Lozer dashes over Rabbi Lozer. Amalem Yosef is telling his brothers, Kishem she'ein b'libi al Binyamin ochi, sh'lohoya b'mchirasi, kach ein b'libi aleichem. Just like I'm not at all mad at Binyamin, he had nothing to do with this myself, I'm equally just not as mad at you. Just like I'm not mad at Binyamin, I have no reason to be mad at Binyamin, I have no reason to be mad at you. Ki pi hamidaber aleichem, kefi kain libi. And as I'm talking, you should know that's how I feel as well. There's no disconnect over here between what I'm saying and what I'm feeling. and Ulaviv Shalach Kizos, he sends back with the brothers presents for his father, Asar Chamim, Nosim Yitub Mitzrayim. He sends back these 10 donkeys that are filled up with all the Tuv Mitzrayim, the best of Mitzrayim. My Tuv Mitzrayim, what does it mean, the best of Mitzrayim? So I'm in Binyom Bayev, and some of Allah's. We have this Amora before. We have him again over here. Shalach Lo, he sent to his father, Yayin Yashan. He sent to him old fine wine. Shadasa Kenim Nochemen, because older people enjoy a good cup of wine. It puts them at ease. They're sometimes nervous and worried, so it puts them at ease. We continue darshaning our digression here about Yosef and his brothers. So it says, "Vayelchu gam echav vayifulu fonav." After Yaakov died, so the brothers were concerned that Yosef would now get back at them. Until now, Yaakov was alive, so Yosef didn't start up with them. But now, maybe he would start up with them because they had sold him. So Amar Ben Yomim by Yefes, Amar Ben Lozer, again the same Amora says over here. Hainu darmiyinshin. This is what people say. Tale beidne sogidle. When a tala is a fox. The tuf and the shin can be interchangeable, like tiklin chaditin. Tiklin and Shkolim, the Tuf and the Shin are interchangeable. So Tala is a Shual, is a fox. So a fox in its day, Be'idnei, at its time, Sogidle, you have to go bow down to him. In other words, they were saying, no, he's now in charge of us, so we better be nice to him. More questions this, really? Tala, would the brothers have referred to Yosef as a Tala? Why would they say he's such a low creature compared to them? They're lions and he's a fox. So the Gemara says, Ella, eat marhochi emna. If Rabbi Lazar, in fact, had said something, this is what he would have said. When Yaakov Avinu was bowing down to Yosef, so then on that, he says, Tala b'idne sagidle. So that's what he was referring to compared to Yaakov Avinu. Yes, he's a Tala. Okay. Then the pasuk continues. It says, Yosef tries to comfort his brothers, and he speaks to them in their hearts. And again, Rabbi Yomim Yafes says the name of Elazar. Malami, this is coming to teach us. He said to them things that they would accept in their hearts. What is that? He said as follows. Uman seres neros, the 10 candles, meaning the 10 shvatim, lo yochul chabos nerechot. You couldn't wipe me out. You were 10 against 1, yet you couldn't wipe me out. So certainly, 1 against 10, there's no way I could wipe you out. Nerechot. Me, the one candle, hechol chabos, I'm sorry, nerechot. How could I wipe out 10 candles? I thought, my own shot, that he's saying that the candles are all equal, and it's just, you're a majority, and I'm a minority, but the candles are all equal. I'm not greater than you, you're not greater than me, we're all the same. So therefore, if your 10 couldn't defeat my 1, then certainly my 1 can't defeat your 10. Okay, that was a little sidebar digression that we started talking about Yosef and the brothers. Now we go back to the Megillah. So the Megillah tells us after Haman is killed, Lihudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha Sasom V'Sasom V'Yakar. So we know that there are 4 statements over here. The Jewish people had Ora, Simcha, Sasom, and Yakar. Each of them is Darshan. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda. Yehuda says, Ora, what does Ora refer to? Zutura. Torah. This is the Torah. So mitzvahs are compared to a candle, and the Torah is a light, a big light. Torah R. Okay, so that would mean the Jews people now could go back and learn Torah. Haman had forbade them to go and learn Torah. These 4 kinegi, the 4 things that Haman and Achashverosh had forbidden the Jewish people to do. So now they can go back and learn the Torah. Simcha, this is a reference to observing Shabbos and Yontif. Simcha is a Yontif. As the Pasuk says, so this is Yontif. So now the Simcha of Yontif is allowed again to be done. Sason, this is a reference to the Bris Milah. They had said the Jewish people can't do Bris Milah. Sason Zumila. We say that I will be happy, I will be sauce, I'll be besimcha on your words. In other words, that you told us to go and do a bris milah. And therefore, this is a reference to the milah. And finally, the yikar, the last thing, that's a reference to the tefillin, el tefillin, which we'll see the tefillin shorosh. As the pasuk tells us, the whole world will see that the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is written on you, and they will be afraid of you. In other words, they'll see the tefillin shorosh. These are the tefillin that are on your head. And the famous statement from the Vilna Gaon, it doesn't mean that literally they're seeing the tefillin on your head. If they see you act like the tefillin are in your head, in other words, if you act like a proper yid, then there will be a pachad on the goyim amongst us. Then it tells us that Haman was hung, and also all of his 10 sons were hung as well. Veis Pashandosa, Vagomer, lists all the names of the 10 sons of Haman, Aseres Bnei Haman. These are the 10 sons. Again, we had previously that he had many other sons. Those weren't hung, they either died, they were impoverished, they went around begging. We had a whole discussion of how many other sons he had, but here we're dealing with the 10 sons that were hung along with Haman. So Amar Rav Ada Demin Yafo, Rav Ada, who came from the city of Yafo, he said that we say Aseres Bnei Haman, and the word at the end, Vaseres, the listing of the 10 sons of Haman, and the word Vaseres, Tzorech Lememrinu, you have to go and say them, Bin Shimachas, with one breath. You shouldn't say them each board separately. Tosos points out over here, a little Tosos, Sharach Leom and Mishima Achas, he says, Nira, this din is l'chatchila, dainu l'chatchila. However, avo b'diyevid yotze. If you didn't say them all in one breath, the person laning couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, you're saying along in your own Megillah, so b'diyevid yotze, you don't say it in one breath. What's the point of saying it one breath? My time, what's the reasoning? So the answer is, kulu b'hadi hadode nofku nishmasayu. They all died simultaneously. They were hung, and they all died simultaneously, so we allude to this with the Nishima Achas. That's one of the reasons why people stop at that point in the Megillah and they say each of the sons' names themselves before the Baal Kriya says it. And one of the explanations of that is because you can only be Yotze Shomea Ka'one by listening your Yotze with the words, but you can't fulfill the concept of Benishima Achas. And therefore, that's why the custom has come down that many people say the 10 sons of Haman with their own Nishima Achas before the Chazan reads it for the Tzibur. Rabbi Yochanan says further, Vav de Vaisasa, the Vav in the word Vaisasa, if you ever seen a Megillah, it's elongated. So Lemimtacha Bizakifa, it must be stretched out. It's a big Vav. And this is like Kimordaya Deliveros. This is like a certain type of a pole that they used to go fish with Mistamo, they used to go push the boats with in a city called Livros or in a river called Livros. Now, my timer, again, why? So it's again to allude to this idea, Kulu Bechad Zekifa is Dakifu, that all of them hung at the same time. They all died at the same time, but they all hung at the same time as well. One Mistama on top of the other, one right next to the other, they were lined up, and therefore that's alluded to by having the Vav and the word Vaizasa elongated. Amar Chanina Bar Papa, Dorosh Rav Shela, Ish Kefar Tamrasa. Rav Chanina Bar Papa tells us that he heard a drasha on this from Rav Shela, who was from the city of Tamrasa, and he says, Kala Shiros Kula Nechtovos Oriach Agabi Levena, Ulevena Agabi Oriach. Normally when we have a Shira in the Torah, so it's written alternating. If you see Yashir in the Torah, so you have words at the beginning of the line, you have words in the middle of the line, and then you have words at the end of the line on alternating lines. So you can have, so to say, a very sturdy construction. It's what's known as Ariach Agabi Levena. Ariach is a half brick on top of a whole brick, and a Levena, a whole brick on top of a half brick, and this is how it is, so to say, solidified. So the Shira is held very strongly in place in this fashion. One exception, or actually two exceptions to this rule, Tosafos says there could be more exceptions as well. Chutz Mishira Zu Umachri Knan. This Shira, meaning the listing of the 10 songs, sons of Haman, as well as when it lists the 31 kings of Malchi Canaan, so they're written in a different format. They're written, Ariach Agabi Ariach, Levena Agabi Levena. They're written with a half brick on top of a half brick and a full brick on top of a full brick. In other words, they're at the ends of the line. There's nothing in the middle. It's not as sturdy. Okay. My time, what's the rationale for this? Shlote tekuma l'mapalosa. We're alluding to the fact of it that they can't climb out, that they're falling down, and they can't get up easily when the bricks are aligned in that way. When you have the beginning, beginning of the sentence and at the end of the sentence, there's nothing in between that they can, so to say, grab onto, as opposed to when you have the spaces and the writing alternating with each other in a certain way, it's symbolizing that you can get out easier. Okay. Gemara continues, Darshin in the Megillah. It says, Vayomer HaMelech liEster HaMalkah b'Shushan HaBira hargu haYehudim chamesh miyosish. So it seems, Tosus points out, that he's very upset. He says, you killed a lot of people. Why are you killing so many people? But then, Omer Rabbi Avo, Malami Shabo Malach Ustara HaPiv. Then the Malach gave him a Zetzach HaShverosh. And then he says, Nu, what else would you like? I will give you whatever else you want. The end of that pasuk says that the king says to her, Ma she'losech v'inosi lochu ma bakushasech od v'se'os. So if you want something more, I'll give you more. So originally he was upset, but then subsequently he isn't upset. Then the Gemara continues and it says, U'bevo'o l'fnei ha'melech, Omar ima sefer. It should be Omar. It should be Omra, mi boyle. Why are you telling me Omar? Isn't Esther the one that's talking when she comes to the king and say, listen, Haman wrote this horrible thing. You got to retract it. So why does it say Omar? It should have said Omra. So Omar Yochanan, now some aren't chorus the next words, Omru lo, that she said to him. But the bottom line is, ye Omar bepeh, masha kosa besefer. This is teaching us the din in the Megillah, that you have to go and say what's written in the Megillah. The Megillah has to be read. We continue Darshaning, where it tells us that they sent out Divrei Shalom the MS across the whole nation. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Famrila Amar Ravasi. Rabbi Tanchum says, all to say it was Ravasi who said, Melami Shetzricha Sirtut, that you have to go and have lines drawn into the Megillah. When it's written out, there should be lines there that beautifies the Megillah by Kamita Shal Torah, just like you have a Sefer Torah that has to have Sirtut, or some suggest like A Megillah needs sirtut. It has to be lined, so you're writing exactly on these lines. It's like drawn into the parchment, an etched out line. So this has to be written in that way. Gemara continues darshing. It says, "Umamar Esther Kiyam." The Esther's words were done. They were established for Purim. So, Mama Esther in Divrei Hatzomos Lo, was it only Esther's words that did everything? All the tainus of the 3 days of Knos Kol Yudim, Tzumalai, Laila B'Yom Shlosh Yomim, that didn't help? So Gemara says, Amar Yochanan, no, of course that helped. The previous sentence, the previous pasuk was Divrei Hatzomos and Umamar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ma'ela. They were able to allow the miracle of Purim to occur. We delete the words SMA because that's not part of the pasuk. More continues darshing. Says Ki Mordechai Hayudi Mishne LaMelech HaChashverosh. They appointed Mordechai to be the viceroy. He was the second in command to the king. He took over from Haman. Gadol Yehudim Paratzui LeRov Echav, and he was great for the Jewish people, and he was finding favor. He was Ratzui. His contributions were accepted by Ratzui LeRov Echav, by most of his Klal Yisrael, most of Klal Yisrael. LeRov Echav, that implies V'lo LeKol Echav, but not to everybody. An amazing thing. There were some people that were unhappy with his performance during this point in time. So, l'rov echov, but not l'kol echov. Malami shapir shemimenu mixa Sanhedrin. Some of the Sanhedrin were unhappy that he went down in his learning because of all his askonus work. Number of Yosef, gadol talmid Torah, Yosef me'atzolos nefashos, because they felt that learning of Torah is even more important than going out to do hatzolos nefashos. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're the only person that can do it, you should say, no, I'm learning, and let somebody die of a heart attack and not call 911. No. It means when there were other people to do this, they felt that there are other people that could have done what Mordechai did, and therefore he should have spent his time in the base medrash. That was a percentage of the Sanhedrin felt that. The Meikara, Choshev Leila Mordechai Basa Dalit, Ulubasov Basa Chamisha. Originally, he was considered to be number five on the list. There were four people ahead of him, so to say, in the ranking, and subsequently there were five people ahead of him in the ranking, as we'll see in a second, and therefore he declined during this period of time. Meikara, if it says originally, these are psukim from Ezra, where it says originally, Asher bo im Zerubbabel, they came back with Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Saraya, Reelaya. Those are the four people that are listed ahead of Mordechai Bilshan. He's the next one. So he's number five originally, so four people ahead of him. But then it says a little bit south, it says later on in Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah, the same sefer, but we list Nehemiah separately for our purposes, but it's one sefer. But it said over there in the listing, a little bit south, ksiv, Haboim im Zerubbabel, they came back with Zerubbabel. You have the first two are the same. You have listed there Yeshua and Nehemiah, but then it lists three additional ones, Azariah, Ramiah, and Nachmani, and only then Mordechai Bilshan in the sixth position, meaning that there were five ahead of him, previously there were four ahead of him. Amar Rav, Rav says, Vitem Rosh Mor Bar Maris, so he's either Rav or Rosh Mor Bar Maris, who said the following statement, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The learning of Torah is even more important than building Beis HaMikdash. And where do we see this from? Shekoz Man Shebaruch Ben Neriah, who was the Rebbe of Ezra, was still alive in Babel, Lo Yinich Ezra, Ezra didn't leave him alone, and didn't go up to Eretz Yisrael. Once his Rebbe died, so then he went up to Eretz Yisrael, because now he was free to go. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Shmuel Bar Maris, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibud Aveim. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is even greater than the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim. Where do we see that? Shekol Osen, Shanim, Shaya, Yaakov, Avinim, Beis Eber. All the years that Yaakov Avinim was learning, the 14 years he was learning in Yeshiva, Shem Be'Eber, Lo Nenash. He wasn't punished for being away from his parents. For the other 22 years, he was punished, and therefore he lost Yosef for those 22 years. Mitzvah Shem the Gemara tomorrow will pick this up and say, how do we know what I just told you? The numbers are correct. Mitzvah Shem the Gemara will continue with Domar Mar, and we turn to tomorrow, we'll turn to Yud Zayin, and we'll go through those calculations. But with this, we conclude today's share.